Blog Talk Radio.
Scott Enstra Network. Thanks for joining me here on Tuesday. Everything I look at, every time I open up something on Facebook or look at an email or investigate something, it's just amazing what's going on out there. Now, I've pointed out in the past about the vision that I saw in 2005 was not good. It had to do with the taking over of the human mind in mass quantities, meaning that not just thousands, but millions of people were going to go insane. And they're going insane because the demons are finally breaking through and then taking people over. And what that means is that enough sin has been committed to allow the demons to do and act what the way that they are. And from that point forward, the ones that were on the fence, the ones that had not made any decision towards Jesus Christ, the ones that had been pretending to be Christians, were the ones infected. And it just didn't include those that were atheists, witches, Luciferians, Illuminati. It was those that had not made a full commitment. Now, as hard as that is to comprehend, and I know that some of you don't believe it. I know you don't believe it because very little is being done in the way to change that. See, God always gives us a way out. It's His promise. He loves us. He wishes none should perish. But yet, through rebellion, through rejection of Christ, through lawlessness, all the things that basically put someone in a category of wickedness, they're the ones who have forfeited their birthright. Because when Jesus Christ died, He died for everybody. He didn't die for the aliens. He didn't die for the Greys. He didn't die for the Nephilim. He didn't die for the hybrids. He didn't die for the vampires. And He didn't die for the reptilians. Now, all the names that I just gave are walking among us now. I see New Zealand, which has had issues and problems all along, has an increase in vampire-like type attacks. That's actually been going on for a long time. Australia is the same way. England has always had it. Most of Europe. And it even takes place here in the United States. Now, Julie and I have taught pretty much in depth about the misuse of blood. I've gone in depth about, cannibalism, eating human flesh. And the curses that we are plagued here in the United States, because we're actually consuming murdered children. Now, I have to make a choice, a decision, or had to. I continually roll in my mind because I don't like what I'm talking about. But at the same time, no one seems to, at least to the degree that Julie and I do. And so if no one's going to talk about it, then I guess I will. See, I don't have anything to gain. I'm not making money off of this. In fact, if anything, I live, if you knew how I lived, you would be surprised. I had everything taken away from me in 2000. I mean everything. And so I've learned to live without. And anything that comes along that is a benefit to making comfort is treasured. Now, the way that I live is nothing compared to what's coming. And most people are not going to be able to make that adjustment. Let me fill you in. I'm just going to kind of bounce around here tonight, you know, just shoot from the hip. There's some topics here I want to cover, and we'll see. When I had those things taken away, and I want you to listen to me. All right, there was a great loss. Because when one works their whole life, okay, I was in engineering, electronics, electrical, mechanical, spent a lot of time in law enforcement. And so I had a decent income, a decent salary. I had the nice houses. I had the new cars. I had the toys. I even had businesses where I, you know, developed things with a machine shop that I had in a lab. I have a few patents in my name from years back. And just like a plane hit my home, everything was gone. And was forced to live out of the back of a friend's house and out of cardboard boxes. Just one swoop, boom, over with. So depression, anxieties, pain, just an overwhelming loss, hopelessness, and betrayal were so tremendous that the only reason that I'm alive today is because of Jesus Christ. And the loving people that were within a ministry that were willing to take me in and clean me up and put me back upright again. But here's the problem. That's nothing compared to what's coming. And my point is, even though that I've been seasoned or trained or have experienced it, it's still going to be overwhelming. For what's coming. Now, I see in the Wilcox, you know, Arizona, I don't know if anyone's familiar with those areas, but, you know, these FEMA camps were put in place intentionally for us. For anyone that is a conservative, anyone who believes in Jesus Christ, anyone who is a constitutionalist, they would see as an extremist. And that's social engineering. That's a name given. Remember, those who control or own the definition of names control their meanings. And so when they put out this rhetoric, when they put out this social psychobabble, it's to box us in a corner. Now, in a sense, we've painted ourselves into a corner, but in reality, we've been herded into a corner. And so the only way out is to fight. Even people who are weak, even let's say women who are very feminine and have never had to fight in their life and even men that are not fighters. At any given point, if you push somebody far enough, they'll eventually fight back. Now, some don't. Some just curl up in a fetal position and allow people to kill them. And the captivity that takes place, you know, Stockholm syndrome and some of these others, which I've taught about before, the conditioning of the mind to program hopelessness. Of course, along with the GMO foods and the vaccines and the chemtrail spraying, I mentioned last night that the snow here in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, did the same thing that I saw some other examples around, where when you went out and gathered the snow and tried to light it, it wouldn't even melt. It burnt like kind of like a kernel of plastic, and had a very strange smell to it. It's not even real. So all the toxins and all the poisons that they've put into us also contribute. And, gentlemen, to introduce chemicals that mimic estrogen. So, ladies, someone did a posting about male size, and apparently they thought it was funny. We need to understand that what's been done to men over the years has lowered them. And this is intentional, because as a young man growing up in the 60s, I was in junior high in the later 60s and then finally into high school, Vietnam was at its peak. And the boys and even the women, the teenagers, the girls, end of high school into college, they were mad as hell about Vietnam. They picketed, they marched, sit-ins, whatever you want to call it. They expressed their hatred towards the U.S. government's involvement in Vietnam, which ended up killing close to 60,000 U.S. young men and women. For nothing. And so now, where do you see this type of heartfelt expression? You don't. And by the way, the amount of children that we've killed in the womb basically has reached just an enormous number that we can't even comprehend it. It literally would be several size of different countries combined together. And the loss in this country and in the world to the people that have been murdered could have been, as I mentioned before, if you're young enough, could have been the mate that God had for you. Instead, you ended up marrying somebody else, and now your life sucks. Your marriage is straight from the pit of hell. There are inventions, there are miracles, there are contributions to society and to the medical world that could have been brought forth by those people that were murdered. Now, there's a great control that's taking place to keep out anything that benefits society anyways, such as alternative fuels, medicines. You know, cancers was an intentional implementation onto society. Just think of the billions of dollars that has been made off of the treatments of cancer. When simple things could rectify it, in or the subtraction of those things that were given to us, then that would have never taken place. And everything just goes on and on and on. And still to this day, you can talk to people and they either don't have a clue or they don't give a damn. And that is exactly where the globalists want us. We are the fish in the barrel. We are the pigs in the pen. We are the cows in the fields, just waiting to be fattened and slaughtered. So those that want to do this to us, as Julie and I have discussed, many of them are not even human. Now, as it will be in the days of Lot, or so as it will be in the days of Noah, that there were monsters, there were creatures, there were things upon this planet that were part of a corruption against man and against beast, against insects, against fish, against birds. And so there were creatures that were hideous, that had nothing to do with God. And it was so bad that through the cries of the people that there was an intervention by God. And so this is what we're actually seeing now. See, as I mentioned before, that there's nothing new under the sun. So what is taking place has already taken place before. Only this time, because of the sins of man, they will go to a level that they didn't reach before. Now, the population, several billion, is an incredible number. And just think of all the people in the history that have already perished because of the evilness and the murder of these creatures. Because a lot of the myths, a lot of the folklore, a lot of the wives' tales all are based in fact. And like any good social engineering, they'll allow these things to take place in order to give the facade that it's some kind of, supernatural thing that's only in the minds of the people who hear it. When in reality, that the transhumanism, the hybrids, the Nephilim, have all been going on and never really stopped. There's been control, there's been things that have rendered underground, waiting for the day. And that day, unfortunately, is upon us now. The very fact that we have someone in the White House who is completely demon-possessed, and we have for a long time. As much as I'd like to think that Reagan was a good man, I'm sorry. There was one important factor, and that his running mate or vice president was Bush Sr., who is part of the New World Order, who has bloodlines that go all the way back, that are completely sold out to the globalists, to the Illuminati, to whatever you want to call them, and they themselves are not completely human. Now, Reagan may have changed his mind, and he may have made an attempt that in his last days to make things more right, otherwise he was more under duress, more under a direction or a forced, into doing what he was doing. And because of that, then Hinckley, which, by the way, has links to the Illuminati royal bloodline, tried to kill him. And through the grace of God, he did not succumb to the bullets, Reagan. Now, we do note that after Reagan came out of the hospital, dementia, Alzheimer's start taking over. And so while he was in the military hospitals, the likelihood of him being injected with aluminums and other agents, other heavy metals, that would have brought that dementia on rapidly were most likely given to him. And we look at Kennedy and what they did to Kennedy. We look back and back and back at the different assassinations over the several hundred years that we've been a nation. And it's all been through the Zionist Illuminati control. Now, that's a tall order. That's a lot of stuff to sling around. But in reality, the nation, since we were of numbers very rapidly, and at the time the technology wasn't available, the only thing they could do was basically to control the outcome of elections and to set up a course of action. You know, if you're going to steer a very large ship, even though it's a small rudder, it still takes a wide turn. And so in reality, that's really what's been happening here. Because if you were to take a ship of that size and to turn it quickly, it would turn over. And then nobody would win. But if you can turn the ship around and go the opposite direction, then you have succeeded. Because the what's been stowed on board, the cargo, then is yours. Now, since these things are not human, since the reptilians, the creatures, the monsters, we'll just call them monsters because that's what they are. Anybody that would harm a child is a monster. Anybody that would molest a child is a monster. And so these monsters really don't care one way or another. They know that even numbers of themselves will perish during these times. Now, if they are able to walk in to other human, to other vessels, other bodies, then in reality, their conscience, the whatever spirit they have, just simply downloads into a new body. So a lot of the people that we're dealing with now have been around a very, very long time. And on the outside, the handlers are the fallen angels. And or can include very high demonic beings. You need to remember, they're fallen angels and demons are not the same thing. Some people will tell you different. I'm sorry, I don't believe that. And so this demonic control that is taking America, it basically has America, and the ship is almost completely turned around. And when that finally takes place, and by the way, as a baseline or a factor to focus on for when the timeline, I should say, would be when Obama leaves office and or prior. Now, he'll want to continue, and there's talk that he'll go on to the United Nations, and that's always been the plan anyways. But the other plan, potential, would be the fact that that he declares martial law, which they've already got set up. That's why the FEMA camps are being turned on. You notice when you turn your computer on, it doesn't just go, you know, you don't just turn it on. It's got to load. Hard drives got to find that information. It's got to put things into memory. You know, it's got to, the drivers have to be turning things on. And so what Obama's doing is he's turned the computer on for FEMA. And it's coming up. And pretty soon we're going to have that little circle on screen that goes around and around until the computer finally comes up. And you'll notice on some computers you can't start hacking away at it or use the mouse till you completely let it come up, and even then there's still a few hiccups. So nothing's perfect for these guys. One thing that has been a positive is that there's been a great intervention of God. Now, there are people who do pray. There are of those who know that corporately we're able to stand against the tyranny, against the demonic oppression, against the plan to destroy all of us. It can be blocked, thwarted, slowed down, and even eliminated. But because most professing Christians haven't a clue how to spiritually warfare and don't even believe in demons, or don't believe that Christians can have demons, or think that this is all done and nothing has to be, you know, there's nothing we can do about it, you're absolutely wrong. We're here to fight. We're here to do the work of Jesus until he returns. Now, God knows all things. That's why we have the book of Revelation. That's why we have Ezekiel. That's why we have Daniel. We have all the prophets that have been telling us the events that will take place. Because he knows that there was a great deception and that there was a great falling away. God knows this. And that basically we were asleep at the wheel. The only reason that things are in the shape that they are is because the so-called Christian church did not do what it was supposed to do, period. And judgment starts in the house of God. And those that have been professing to be Christians, as I started out in the beginning of this broadcast, are going to very soon find out that demons have a legal right to torment them. Now, let me bring something up. The shooting in Oregon was a terrible thing, and we knew something was going to happen. We just didn't know how it was going to play out. And I just looked at another video that gave the appearance that when they took LaVey's hat off, it looked like he was still alive. And it gave the appearance in the video that it wasn't, I don't know if you could tell this by the original, but it looked like they came over and finished him off. He was assassinated. I'm waiting to make a final opinion of it until I have a little more information. I'm just making sure that what's being brought to me is not intentional, is disinformation. But I have to admit, what I saw was pretty convincing. Whenever you have somebody that is of a gunshot or wound, even in that circumstance, to stabilize an individual is absolutely necessary. So their goal was to kill him, period. Instead of control the situation and bring it to a peaceful end, that was obviously not because. And I say this because of their behavior after the shooting. Okay, do you understand that? See, there are things you do and you don't do per the circumstances. And everything that they did says otherwise, that they had full intentions to, how we should say, diffuse, to control it, to bring it to a peaceful ending. That wasn't the case at all. Now, what's significant about that to us? Well, again, you need to understand that the federalizing of any law enforcement under Department of Homeland Security has been to teach and train REACT. Now, they've brought in vets, and I'm not going to give the vets a hard time. That's not what I'm doing here. I want you to just be patient with me, okay? I support vets. I pray for vets. You know, veterans were abused. Veterans were used intentionally, and their goal was to destroy the minds of the vets so they couldn't be useful to support the defense of this nation. That's what they did. But when you have people that have gone too far or unredeemable or under heavy medication, their post-traumatic stress can be used as a weapon. And just like the shooting of the pregnant woman here in Idaho, north of me in Sandpoint, a little over a year ago, where AR-15s were used on a pregnant woman, a young woman, who was threatening self-harm because she was in duress, in emotional duress, and they gunned her down. Now, when I was in law enforcement, I would have been drug over the coals. I would have been hung publicly for doing such a thing. Do you understand that? See, that even I can remember one officer who was going into a bank and it was being robbed. And he staged himself outside when he realized what was going on, and as the armed individual exited, he called for them to halt. The individual turned around with their gun, and the policeman fired twice. Actually, it was, I believe, a sheriff deputy. Now, we need to remember, in reality, gunfire is not like what we see in the movies. Some of these bullets are moving so quickly, they go right through flesh. And when somebody's hyped up on drugs or even adrenaline, they don't even know they're hit. I can remember a case study where a guy had his heart blown out of his chest. He ran down three flights of stairs, opened up some steel doors, and then collapsed. The shooting that took place in Florida, where several FBI agents were killed, the individual that killed most of the FBI agents had deadly wounds and continued to kill. He should have died, but he didn't. So when this officer fired on this guy, one made contact, one didn't. Now, the second round was only because his first one, which made contact, didn't do anything. And the reason I'm bringing this up is when they drug him through court, they wanted to know why he fired two rounds. Nowadays, when you watch a shooting, you'll see an officer empty their clip and they don't even bat an eye about it. So in the past, see, when I entered into them in 1985, I think it was. Yeah, 85. So, you know, it was a few years ago. And but now, you know, AR-15s, 45s, 9mm, whatever the case is, it's not uncommon to fill somebody up. So Lavoie apparently had 9 rounds in him. And one was in the face. And if you look at the video, the man, and I mentioned it before, that the man behind the tree was staged like a sniper. Though he had a handgun, he must have had some type of rifle. Whether he had it strapped to his back or whether it was behind a tree, I don't know. But the way that he did that was execution style. And again, what I want to bring up is the fact that this is literally what's going to take place for all of us. We need to understand that us as Christians, us as God-fearing, us who have the Holy Ghost, us who are capable of binding and breaking curses and stopping evil, is actually the biggest threat to these organizations, because the people who are doing this, whether they're human or not, are full of demons. Now, I mentioned last night with Julie that witches and the church doesn't mean they're human. The witchcraft in itself is calling upon evil within the spirit realm to do your dirty work. So it doesn't matter what type of creature they are, it's still witchcraft. And to vex somebody, to put them under a spell, is their goal, because then it alters the individual's minds that they're trying to control. And as a Christian, if we have the full armor of God on and we've been through deliverance, guess what? It doesn't work. So that means that all the people who are vexed right now that are simply time bombs waiting to turn into insanity, an insanity bomb, boom, everyone's crazy. Means that those who have been through deliverance, those who have confessed, those who have renounced, those who have repented, those who have had the demons cast out, this stuff's not going to work. That makes you and I, ma'am, gentlemen, the threat to the enemy. And so these FEMA camps, these concentration camps, internment, education, re-education, processing, is for you and me. Now, I've mentioned before that since I'm boisterous, since I'm out there, you know, not big time, I get it, but there are thousands of people that do hear me. There are even more people who read and or have heard or something to that effect about standing against the wiles of the enemy. So that makes me a threat, and most likely I'll just be taken out. And you know what? If that's in God's will, then my job's done and I go home. I don't want to get shot. But you know what? As I mentioned, the life on this planet is a flash in the pan compared to eternity. And I would rather lose my life for Jesus Christ and save it than to forfeit it to a bunch of demonized monsters who have lied and snared me into the second death. And it's the same with others. You know, I'm a bit overwhelmed and I'm a bit burned out of everything that I've been doing for the past, you know, as I said, going on 16 years. But I'm on the home stretch here. Now, who has done long-distance running? I used to love long-distance running. When I lived in Pennsylvania, going through the farms and you know, the back roads and all of that, you know, running, and you know, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7, 10 miles. And has anyone ever experienced a runner's high? I've had it twice. And apparently, after your body's depleted or at a certain point, there can be a dopamine exchange or release. And you literally feel like you're a locomotive. You don't feel pain. You're just fixed into some of a high, a runner's high, that is unbelievable. If anyone's ever done long distance running, and I'm waiting for that. Right now I hurt. Right now I'm tired, but I know it's coming because God said He would pour out His Spirit. And God is not a liar. God is truth. Now, when I say God, you know, I'm talking about the Creator, the Author, the Father of Spirits, the big G God. And so, in reality, that Jesus Christ, enabled us to come back into relationship with God. So in reality, that would make Jesus my best friend. right? And because Jesus is my best friend, then I should have his back, right? I should stand up for him. I should even pray for him. Because what Jesus did for us, I can't, you know, how can I put that into words? You know in your heart if you truly have Christ or not. These false converts that have been converted over to think that they are, there's a rude awakening, and it's a shame because it's programming, it's a lie. When you truly are in Christ, there was a change that took place. Now, we can backslide, we can make mistakes, we can do stupid things. We're human. That's why psychologist manuals like the DSM-6 or DSM-4 and 5 have truth to it, because we are of our nature humans, and so we can be documented, we can be logged, there can be a projection as to our behavior. And so we screw up. We make bad choices. But when we repent, when we understand that what we did is wrong because we have Christ in our heart, you know, you can get mad. You know, you can do things that you wish you hadn't done. We all do that. But the conviction of your error, of your sin, is felt in your heart. And when that doesn't take place, then very possibly your conscience has been seared. And I bring this up because many of the people, and many of those that are hybrids, and many of those that are reptilian, are incapable of that. So when they do their dirty deeds, if they have any emotion, it may bring actually a peace to them, which is the exact opposite of when we sin. We know something's wrong. Something we just did didn't set right in my spirit. But with them, that brings some kind of gratification. And when you have somebody, and I'm just going to talk about humans here for a moment, when you have somebody who's capable of doing things to other people, knowing that it hurts them, and you do it anyways without any thought, and can still move forward and be friends and act like you're friends with them, that's actually evil. Do you understand? So pastors that are standing in front of you knowing full well that the caca is going to hit the fan, and they're not telling you everything because they've been in contact with the Department of Homeland Security and FEMA, and they already know what's coming because they've been told to round all of you up to brainwash you into thinking that everything's okay. That's evil. Whenever a watchman fails, in the Old Testament, God revealed to him that the blood of those who perished was on their hands. Whenever you intentionally, willfully harm another individual without repentance and move forward thinking that you can justify it because of the narcissistic attitude within yourself, which, by the way, is another grouping of demons. And let me bring this point up here too. Accountability. I can cast all the demons out of somebody, but you still may be who you are. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if you're going to blame your behavior on demons, remember, who was that? It was on Laughing. He used to say, the devil made me do it. Well, that may be true to a point, But if let me bring this up. Okay. Now, if perversion or over sex acts was only because of testosterone, okay, then that basically would mean that after a certain age and time when men's testosterone lowers, those sex acts should curve. But across the board, statistically, that does not take place. You can have men who can't even operate as men anymore will still molest a child. And it doesn't matter if they say that they, you know, they find no pleasure in it. It's because it's who they are. And it's a harsh example, and it may not be the best example, but I think most people can actually relate to that. And so a lot of you continue in behaviors because that's who you are. And it's very frustrating for me as a deliverance minister that people will come back later on and say, well, you know, my life's changed, but I still have this. Well, stop it. The other is, you know, what's the old joke where the guy comes to the doctor and he says, doctor, when I lift my arm this way, it hurts. And the doctor says, well, then don't lift your arm that way. There's a choice that we all make. And it's that choice that is going to put us in relationship with God the right way. We may think we are, but many are deceived. Because in reality, your heart hasn't changed. God knows us by our hearts. He knows who we are by our fruits. So you can have somebody that pretends to be nice and gives the illusion of good fruit. But here's the thing. God will always reveal that individual of the nature of who they are. And so many of the pastors, which is completely out of line anyways, and many of you that listen to me know what I think about pastors, many of them are going to be revealed here real quick. Now, if they truly had Christ in their heart and they truly loved you, they wouldn't lie to you. See, if let's say that you have a cheating spouse, and let me bring this up too. When you have somebody who's not truly repentive, and has not been a new creature in Christ, that when you confront them, okay, I want you to listen to me. When you confront them and you ask them about a sin that they did, otherwise, did you cheat on me? And they say no. Do you know why they said no? Because you said, did you cheat on me? But you, what you should have said, but what they're thinking is you asked, did you cheat on me today? But you didn't ask that. No, they cheated on you last week. But you didn't ask the specific question. See? So in their sick mind, they can justify their lie. If you are dealing with somebody like that, I feel very, very bad for you. Because if you're married to someone like that, or you've given your heart to somebody like that and you're in bondage to them, remember, the one who loves the least is the one who's in most control. So otherwise, if I'm in a relationship and this other person really loves me and I only sort of like them, and if I was a stinker, I could control and manipulate them. Now, I've seen people who think that they're of the Luciferian doctrines, that they are Satanists, and they actually profess their love to Satan. And so when we look at their reality, they're actually in love with somebody that hates them. Do you see how sick and twisted that is? See, there's many behaviors in society and relationships that are very sick and twisted. But because it's so familiar to us, because of what we grew up with or whatever the circumstances are, we don't know any different. And I was mentioning to my associate here that's starting with me now, that when you're in a relationship and you, like, let's say a marriage, and you're now divorced or going through divorce, and it turns out the one you were married to really didn't love you, really didn't have your best interest in mind, and at any time was willing to throw you under the bus because they did not love you. In reality, when you're grieving the loss of the marriage, you're grieving over a marriage that didn't exist. Because in reality, you didn't have a marriage. Okay? So what I'm getting at is that many of the people out there that are involved with the New World Order, that are involved with Satanism and all the occults, that they're delusional. They're actually mentally ill. They're not just demon-possessed because it's who they are. Okay, they're broken. Something went wrong. Now, the demons may have set them up and had them hardwired in their thoughts and their minds, emotions, to think a certain way. But you know what? It still means that you're in relationship with somebody. You can feel sorry for them all you want. But in the end, they'll throw you under the bus. And they'll lie to you, and they most likely cheat on you. And what happens when someone cheats in a marriage? More demons. Now, we also know how much God hates liars. And so people who intentionally lie for gain, for financial gain, in order to inflict pain and suffering onto another individual, they will have their turn in the lake of fire, no matter who you are. So the likelihood of, let's say, Obama ever repenting is zilch. Now, I've heard people say that they saw somewhere that he was going to. You know, they got a word of knowledge. But that would also indicate that he's also human. And I feel very strongly, as a high percentage, that he's not. So he's unredeemable. And though we were called to pray for our leaders, we need to understand that Obama is not our leader. He is not our king. He is not our president. He was brought into office under lawlessness. Do you understand that? So he's disqualified as a president. He is a lie. So we're praying for a lie. That makes no sense whatsoever. Does that finally make sense to you? Do you get it? See, in reality, we're supposed to be exposing evil. We're supposed to take those things that are an intent to destroy God's people, stand against it, expose it, and rectify it. And so those who call themselves Christians, those who believe the lie, those who are under the Romans 13 facade of the NIV Bible, which was written by the globalists, that they're actually supporting evil. They're praying for evil. And anybody who supports a wicked nation or an evil individual, there will be accountability. So in reality, we're then called to justice. And that means to be within the law. That means that our Constitution that has told us that when there's tyranny and there, a government has then turned against the people, we're to throw it down. But the Christian church has not done that. And so the remnant, those who truly are of God, those who truly are bondservants of Jesus Christ, are in a very bad position because our spouse, our love, which should be the church, and this is the church of God, it should have been, but it's not, is going to cheat on us. They're going to throw us under the bus. Do you understand? They've been doing it for a very long time, and they've been brainwashing you to think otherwise. They've put you in a position that you're full of demons. You have not gotten rid of your demons. You have not had the curses broke off of you. And now you're in a predicament that instead of being victorious, you're just simply trying to survive. How many have been in a relationship where that really was the name of the game during the marriage, was survival? Instead of love and joy, you know, I mean, you know, when the honeymoon's over, you know, the reality sets in. But there's a point in time where you come to the understanding that, you know, each of you have needs, and you've learned to meet the needs in the order necessary to keep the peace. Instead of somebody keeping the peace at any cost, so another person doesn't get upset. Otherwise, you're walking on eggshells. The American people are walking on eggshells. The Christians, in reality, are actually walking on eggs that haven't broke yet. But those eggs are going to break. When Obama gives the order, just pray that you are right with God. Because to lose your life and then go before the Most High God and find out that he did not know you, the enemy won. But if you lose your life and you're welcomed with open arms, the enemy lost. Because, see, we're all terminal. We're all going to die. The question is, where are you going to spend eternity? And you want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. You do not want to hear, away from me, I did not know you. And in order to do that, in order to hear those words, you need to do the things necessary. You need to do the commandments, because Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And those who love me are in Christ Jesus, which there is no condemnation. What a wonderful thing. But the enemy has caused many, many people to think in a direction that really leads to the slaughter. As the terminology goes in the Old Testament, the blind leading the blind. And even in the New. So I'm just appealing to you to take a look at yourself, to think about how you think. Are you willing to do something to somebody that would cause pain and injury to them and not think twice, not care about it? Because if that's the true case, then you don't have Jesus. Because the very thought of doing such a thing should grieve you. And that if you do it, the conviction will be so strong that it's toxic to you, and you repent and you ask for forgiveness, and you change, and you do not go back to it. If that's not the case, then God may have mercy on your soul. Because the true test is coming, and it's not going to be pretty. All right, my hour's up. God bless you guys. I'm doing what I can here, because the hour is striking 12, and nothing after midnight. Nothing after midnight good happens. All right, God bless.